You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hanging out with Tony Sicana and Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. Thanks so much for joining us here. Super, super excited to announce the Fantasy Sports Network. Fantasy Sports Radio Network has won Best... What was the title? Best New Venture, Corey? Tony?
I believe it was the Rookie of the Year Venture. I got to get the exact wording for it here. But a Best New Company, of course, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network starting up this year and offering 24 hours, 7 days a week of free fantasy from a lot of the best names in the business. And more to come. More to come. I heard that yesterday.
Yeah.
There was an announcement that we have an NXT wrestler now.
We do. Yeah, that's sport, right.
With more news to come.
Absolutely. You know, it's very, very exciting. Rookie of the Year is the official title. Very excited, yeah. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And then, of course, Best Fantasy Sports Live Radio Program. That's anywhere, right? That's on our network. It's on Target Fantasy with Jake Seeley, our guy, Benny Ricciardi, and, of course, Joe Pisapia. All three of those guys, tremendous job on Target. And they are the best radio program in all of fantasy sports. How about that?
I'm glad they won that award despite their overproduced commercial.
Hey, is that how you win these things? Should we overproduce a commercial?
It's so funny you say that because I was like, man, I wonder if that commercial had anything to do with it. They did a great job. I listen to the show all the time while I'm doing the work, and I love their takes on everything. And it's a good combination. That's the whole thing with the Fantasy Sports Radio Network I like, is that you get to hear a lot of your favorite hosts on different varieties and different combinations.
Yes.
And I like the three of those guys together.
You know, it's really interesting. They're a really good combination. It really flows well. I was actually like, I told you last night, because I really needed to win money in FanDuel last night. So I was listening to the entire DFS lineup lock show, as I normally do, but sometimes I go in and out of doing a bunch of things. Last night, I listened to every word of it. So I was listening how it's tough for you every morning because you have to carry the three of us on your back every morning, you were saying.
Yes, I do say that every once in a while.
Yeah, so I noticed this.
You gotta have fun with it, you know.
So I heard that, and I immediately texted Benny because I was in conversation with Benny, congratulating him about the award. So I immediately texted Benny, and I said, "Oh man, that's strange that his back hurts because my right shoulder hurts from trying to turn the steering wheel back into the actual lane that we're trying to go in to talk about what we're supposed to talk about on the show."
Well, most times I'm saving you because you're boring the people.
Well, I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to bore the people. That's like the biggest insult you can give me.
Crazy.
The king isn't here. We don't have anyone to.
I know. Corey, what's up, man?
No, the king will be back tomorrow, though.
King is back tomorrow. The king returns to his throne tomorrow, well rested after 3 days off.
Good
King
job.
Scott Angle.
So we look forward to that.
You're bewildered right now.
Yeah, because I just got off the phone with...
Talk to us, man. This is your platform.
Yeah. Tony, any of your children wear braces?
Oh, two of them did.
This thing... I thought the insurance covered this up until 18.
I was paying monthly.
This is ridiculous. This is highway robbery. And I'm sitting here like, this is a 6-year-old. It's too early for braces.
And I thought you said that.
Yeah, but they're like, oh no, it's definitely overcrowding in there. And I'm like, well, she's not going to have teeth like Beyonce Knowles at 6 years old. You know what I'm saying? But
I am so hesitant a lot of times with these doctors, and it's kind of crazy because we don't know anything we're talking about, but I always feel like they're just trying to rip me off.
I'm a second opinion guy because I feel like they're really like, you know what? Yeah, this one, look at this one right here, it's crooked. Yeah, we're going to need to do the full mouth. And I'm like, wait a minute. I really think it's a play to get money from, you know, to stick it to the working people. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, just like everything else, Corey, you have insurance, you pay your insurance every couple of weeks, and somehow you still get a bill for a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. You know, this is like her mother's has, you know, the good insurance, the state-supported employee insurance, you know what I'm saying? And it's still, you know, you're still getting like, I had to call these people back. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, listen, lady, that Granky's more important right now. It's like, we got to get back to this a little bit later on. I saw Madika walking down the block, too.
You're outside? That was quick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got on the phone with these people, and I was like, wait, I'm going to talk to y'all later.
Oh, yeah, you can smell the cigarette smoke coming from his ears right now.
I talk to these people later.
You got to stop smoking, man. We're worried. We need the fantasy executive around for a long time.
I'm going to be here. I'm working on it now. It's a 2017 goal.
Really? Yeah. You didn't tell me that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't share everything.
Well, I asked your resolutions. You just didn't respond.
Yeah. So that was one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's going very well.
He doesn't want people to remind him.
You won't be on the phone with these people who trying to attack your bank account. You're lucky that was it. You know what I'm saying? You're lucky I didn't come back in here smelling like Snoop Dogg.
Greg, these are all things you have to look forward to.
Oh, God. It makes me never want to get married or have children. Or this, not get married and have children.
Yeah, this is
I would just keep practicing.
Practice makes perfect. So eventually you'll hit the jackpot one day. But yeah, this is a.
I'm gonna ask you guys. This is gonna sound like the craziest thing. I'm gonna ask you guys. Greg seems like he's pretty honest, except for the grandma thing. So I think I know the answer here. But Corey, I have no way to he'll go. If you've seen this girl you really liked, right?
Right.
You really liked. And she was a beautiful girl. And she wanted to have kids, and you couldn't. Would you tell her? Or would you just pretend until, you know, and then it didn't work out, which happens all the time with people. Would you tell her?
Yeah, I would listen, I don't want to sound like, I don't want people tweeting at the fantasy executive like you goon. But I would keep it a secret until I had to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, after I took it for a test drive a couple of times, then I'd be like, oh, I didn't know you wanted all of that. I have two children. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They go right here.
How would you handle that, Sylvania?
I would tell the truth.
Right off the rip, huh?
Right from the start, not after the fact.
Not for the first date, right?
Before you had the first
encounter.
No, what if she told you before the first time before you were, you had the adult relation. Would you at least get it in once and then tell her?
Well, I would say for initial adult relations, you're not always trying to have children.
No. You don't need to do it the first time.
Right. Yes.
No, but if it was brought up, say you're at dinner and she brings it up on the first night that you're out at dinner.
Like, yo, I really like you a lot, Greg. You know what I'm saying? We're moving along.
Right.
Think about doing the intimacy thing.
Right.
If this thing keeps going good, eventually I would like to have, I would like to be married and have children. At that point, do you say?
Yes. At that point, I would say yes.
So you'd be willing to risk it all right there?
Well, yeah, I mean,
honestly,
that's the thing. Like, it's going to always hover a black cloud over it. It'll always be there.
Yeah.
Why do I want to deal with that?
Yeah, I understand that. You think that would affect your performance?
No.
No. You said, no. Don't get carried away.
No. I'll make her. Never mind.
But if you are having these conversations with a woman, tell her about braces. This is not something. This is the biggest
rip-off. The
greatest
birth control ever.
Yeah.
Braces. Send them the bills that are associated with all this.
10th round pick for Jeff Erickson was Zach Greinke last night, or two nights ago. Zach Greinke, the lightning rod here. We were wondering where he was going to go, right? We had seen him around. Just under pick 100, where we look at average draft stock. He went in the middle of the 10th round here, which is kind of where I think he should go. I know you guys think he should go a little bit earlier. This is the spot where you draft Zach Greinke, and I think you're excited about drafting Zach Greinke in this spot.
He has a hell of a track record. We already know that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I think the ballpark played some factor, but he just was not himself last season. You got to think that this kind of player with this kind of pedigree is going to be able to bounce back. I think that's real. I think it's realistic. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, given his track record, that I think that you can be put a rebound into his projection for the 2017 season. But see, here's my thing with Erickson's team, and I think it's smart.
I'm going one by one. I mean, I don't jump the gun.
No, but listen, let me say, I think it's smart in the sense that, okay, so he gets Kershaw, right? Then he goes away from pitching altogether until he locks up the two closers.
Yes.
So when he goes back to his starter, you want somebody that can be, you know, who can help. You can't just have Kershaw and a whole bunch of, you know, guys that might hit. So you're going to need a guy that should and can hit. Mm-hmm. And Zach Greinke's that guy. So I think it is a strategy to Jeff Erickson's madness in this draft. I'm not saying madness because that sounds like I'm being talking negative about it, but I think it's a certain strategy to it. But I think if I take Kershaw, I would have probably would have came back and grabbed Bumgarner in the second while he was still on the board.
Tony?
Here's the thing that I look at, and it surprised me, and this will tell you the difference between an expert draft and a regular draft. So the 10th round, I say, wow, he lasted that long. But then I look at it, there's only two pitchers here that I would have taken Greinke instead of that were picked before him. One is Harvey, who was the pick before, which our guys picked, and Felix Hernandez. Other than that, every other pitcher belongs before Zach Greinke. Him and Tanaka are close, so I'm not going to complain about that. I look at this, it's just another version of the experts waiting on pitching.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
That's true, too.
It's interesting that you would have taken Harvey before, too, coming back. You rather Harvey coming off the injury rather than...
No. No, Harvey and Fernandez I would have taken Greinke ahead of.
Yeah, that's what I was confused with that, too. Yeah.
I
figured that out. Sorry, you like Hamels or Greinke? I think we all... Do we all agree Hamels?
I agree, Hamels. Yeah,
I do when I don't want him because the whole ballpark in the American League, but he's just a better pitcher.
He's a better pitcher. Yep. All right, so we talked a lot about Zach Greinke previously, but so I want to move on to the next two guys, which are both Dodgers, right? Justin Turner and Rich Hill. Justin Turner, Tony, you keep talking about finding this power and getting this power. Now, Justin Turner, since becoming a full-time player, since changing his swing, coming over to the Dodgers, everyone has kind of talked about like J.D. Martinez and how he has changed and how he changed his swing going over to Detroit. Justin Turner did the same thing here with the Dodgers, right? Like, this dude, he doesn't strike out. He hit 27 home runs last year, 90 ribbies. The average was .275. This guy was absolutely phenomenal, and his BABIP was even lower than it was the year before. Justin Turner's for real.
Yeah, Justin Turner's a,
this is,
Justin Turner's a player. So,
he's 32.
Dude, she's an old. You're still in your prime.
Yeah, 32 is starting to go downhill in baseball. And this is what I'm saying, that's his best year, right?
Oh yeah, easily his best year.
27 home run,
easily.
So, I think this is a guy for a perfect example. You can get later in your draft and you could be okay. So I wouldn't write him in for 20. Like if I'm keeping track, I'm writing him in for 20 home runs.
Agreed.
I'm going to write him in for 75 runs scored. I'm going to write him for 90 RBIs and a .275 batting average. That's great numbers.
Those are amazing numbers.
Yeah. So what you're doing is it's not even so much that you're paying for 2016. You're playing for the floor, and the floor is good on Justin Turner. So Jeff Erickson moving and grooving.
Yeah. His only problem is staying healthy. Now he
played 151 games last year.
That's gotta be 2015. He had some knee injuries, so that's my only concern. But you get a guy this late, you got significant upside. He made it through last season. They signed him to a lucrative contract, so the Dodgers are well aware of his medical conditions.
Yep. So they believe. I think this has been Erickson. My favorite pick of Erickson's thus far. Like I think Justin Turner in the 11th round is just fantastic.
How much earlier would you pick him though?
Like
you say, it's a fantastic. So let me just consider it.
All right, so let me just use Erickson's draft, right? Like I like him better than Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
Right. I think you could. What doesn't he do better than Stephen Piscotty besides the average?
Very similar. I think very similar numbers. I think that you're getting the same guy, and you get in your case, you're getting a couple rounds later, right?
Right. So I think Turner could be arguably better than Piscotty.
Yeah.
So I will start considering him around the 8th round, probably. So 4 rounds earlier than he would pick. That's why I think he's a great pick.
That's definitely justifiable, and you're going to see a lot of those. What happens is a lot of those third basemen, the big ones, go early in this draft, right?
Yes, yes.
So all those people won't pick a third baseman. So that's going to slide them down a couple rounds there because people have already have the third base.
Sure.
You look at Turner, and he's going 131 in the NFBC. He got picked as early as 64,
and
he's went as late as 175.
And I think that's
so he's all over the place.
I think that's a fact of people going out and getting somebody they wanted, right? Like they look at Justin Turner, and they're like, you know what? I don't care that it's the fifth or sixth round here. This guy's good. I want him. I'm going to grab him now. They don't care. And I always respect that.
Oh, I do too. I think that I've won more times doing it that way than just following the ADP and picking the guy you're supposed to.
Yep.
Is that if you like a guy, go out and get him.
And that's how I fell for JD Martinez 2 years ago. Like, I was like, this guy's going to be awesome. And I picked him a couple of rounds earlier than anyone would even consider him. And it worked out very, very well. And I think Justin Turner is similar to JD Martinez in that way.
I remember one time I picked Chris Davis around four rounds early in the SiriusXM draft, which I ended up winning, but someone asked if I needed to be drug tested on Twitter.
That's not very nice. Now,
I think I remember that.
So the obvious question.
Yeah, he hit 53 home runs. Yeah.
The obvious question is, would you have passed the drug test?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have enough bad habits that I try not to do drugs.
That's good. That's good. Justin Turner's one Dodger that Erickson picked. The next was Rich Hill. Rich Hill, it's all about health with him, right? Like he's very effective when he's on the mound, but it's rare that he is. I like him in the 12th round here because of those injury concerns, because you're getting a good pitcher in the 12th round when he is healthy. Fair spot, would you have taken him? Do you like him, Tony, number one? Number two, would you have taken him earlier or later? Or on right here?
Right here, right here.
I agree.
This is the craziest thing because I was talking to Dr. Roto about this yesterday on the show. Dr. Roto stopped by and was on the show with me and Chris Meany. Is that people don't realize that if you get 130 good innings out of someone, take them. You don't get a zero when they're hurt. And then you can go ahead and you can put in another pitcher there. This is a guy with a 2.12 ERA in 110 innings and over a K per inning. The general manager, Andrew Friedman, says, you know what? We're only going to get 140 innings from this guy, but we're going to get a good 140.
Yep.
Like the team doesn't even have expectations for getting more than that. Neither you should, but you get quality innings when the guy pitches.
That's right.
Yeah, quality innings when he pitches. They trust him, believe in him enough coming into the new year. They gave him the deal. 37 years old, ton of injury issues, but like Tony said, you know that 140 innings that you get from him, he's going to give you a solid ERA to go along with a good whip. You know what I mean? Overall, the K's won't be there because of the lack of innings, but he still give you the good K per nine. So get involved with Rich Hill. The curveball drops off the table. So I don't know. I just like a little bit healthier guy, a little bit younger.
12th round, though. Would you rather have had Rich Hill or John Lackey?
Oh, these are the guys in the 12th round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like John Lackey.
I like John Lackey.
So I probably would take Lackey because I know he's going to pitch.
Yeah. What about the other guy?
I would have went. The guy that interests me though is Velasquez.
Yeah, he's the next guy I was going to ask about. Yep. Vinny Velasquez because he's young, he throws hard, all that stuff.
Yeah, he faded in the second half of the season, but you see that with young pitchers. But he started out the season on fire. Now, you look at it, this K per 9 is great, 10.44, but he had an ERA of 4. I expect that to turn around, but the ballpark's a factor. There's a good offensive ballpark pitching in Philadelphia there. I think I would have went Hill over Velasquez, but Velasquez interests me.
I like all, you know, in fact, this group of pitchers
here. It's a good group right here.
I really like them. Rich Hill, John Lackey, Vincent Velasquez, those into the 12th. Then you get into the 13th. Steven Matz, who had a really good first half before he got hurt. Jared Eichhoff, right? And then look at the next three, Tony, round 13. And Corey. Dallas Keuchel, Danny Salazar, Lance McCullers. All really intriguing for their own reasons, I think.
Why are you saying for the wrong
Salazar
reasons?
McCullers. For their own reasons, I said. For their own reasons.
Oh, for their own reasons, okay.
Salazar and McCullers are two guys that I would really love to have on my team this year and really love to get this late. High strikeout potential. guys that though, but they pitch in the American League. The guy that we picked on our team is Dallas Keuchel. Is interesting because he's probably the most accomplished out of the guys in the last two rounds that have been picked, and I have the least amount of interest in selecting him out of any of these pitchers. Keuchel developed a new pitch 2 years ago, which led him to an incredible season. And then he was slid back last year. He didn't have the strikeout potential before that 2015 season. We're talking about a guy with a 6 strikeouts before that per nine. Then he went up to 8.38. He got the 20 there. And then his ERA went up 2 there. Like, I have the least amount of Dallas Keuchel love out of that whole group.
I agree with that. You know, Lance McCullers, the only question is the injury, right? Like, he was very effective when he pitched last year. I mean, he had a 3.2 ERA. That's fantastic. But it's the question with the injury. We know that Danny Salazar obviously has a strikeout potential, but again, the injury's there as well. But he was healthy. We saw him pitch in the World Series. So to me, I'm also the least interested in Keuchel because I think the upside is probably, you know, even though he won the Cy Young 2 years ago, even though the ERA was 2.48, the year after 2.93, I get it. I'm wondering if last year was the aberration or the 2 years prior to that was the aberration. I don't know.
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
But I'm like least interested in Keuchel as well, for the record.
I had a debate with Drew Dinkmeyer in the 2015 season. Drew liked him.
I remember he told us this, yeah.
And it was one pitch that basically changed his whole career. And those are the things you got to try to figure out. And when you see one pitch, then you see hitters adjust to that pitch, and now it's Dallas Keuchel's turn to go back and try to figure it out. McCullers is amazing to me because when you look at what he's done, he's a guy with the high strikeouts, right? 11 strikeouts coming off an injury, so his controls get better. But the one thing that people don't realize, his ground ball rate, too, is very good for a strikeout pitcher, which you don't see.
Absolutely.
When it comes to Keuchel, how much do you guys think the shoulder injury paid effect and played a role in the down season? Or is that an excuse?
I think it's an excuse. I hate to say that, but I think it's an excuse.
He said he was dealing with it all year.
Of course he did.
Yeah, that's a part you just don't know. But the thing is, I can go. Here's the thing I can say. He didn't do anything to correct it.
It's true.
When it comes to these type of situations, player has a down year. After the season happens, you find out, oh, you know what? I was hurt. Do you think that's a cop-out on the player?
It depends on the injury.
Or do you feel as if a fantasy owner, you should be like, as a fantasy owner, how should you look at that? Cop-out on the player, that was wrong, screw you, whatever the case may be, or, you know what, I understand.
I think it depends on the player, and it depends on the injury, right? Like, I go back to Robinson Cano a couple years ago, right? Like, yeah. He had this knee injury the entire first half, and like, okay, sure you did, Robbie. And then ever since then in Seattle, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
No. Okay, I guess he did have a knee injury.
So he did have a knee injury.
Right.
Do you rather hear about the injury after he has the bad season?
No, I'd rather tell you the injury now so I can drop him.
Or do you want him to keep it to yourself?
No, tell me so I don't have to have him anymore.
But why would he tell you that? Because then it looks like an excuse.
If you tell me during the season, I don't need him anymore. You told me after the season?
No, what about after the fact?
Don't tell me that.
Don't tell you after the fact?
No.
I like to know because in case I see improvement, then I say, oh, you know what, he's injured. He was injured, and I'm not worried about this guy fading off there. So if he gets off to a hot start.
Keuchel, by the way, 2015 pitched 232 innings. That's a lot of innings.
Mm-hmm.
168 yeah. last year. Of course, doesn't have that injury. We'll take a break here. We'll continue taking a look at Jeff Erickson's team inside the FSTA draft, including another guy I love. We talked about him, OBP leagues, Carlos Santana. And then some younger guys, Amidas Diaz and Ender Inciarte. We'll do it next. You're the Roto Experts. Can they do it again? That is always the question mark we bring in for guys that have breakout years that we never know if they are real or an alternative fact. That's how we get to the shortstop of the St. Louis Cardinals, who came out of nowhere to bat 300 last year with 17 home runs and 4 stolen bases. Corey, is this somebody that you could be see yourself interested in?
Excuse me, repeat the name again?
In 2017. Aledmys Diaz.
Okay, here's the thing with the Diaz kid, right? Let me get this correct. Now, breakout season last year. Mm-hmm. Was he being drafted? going into the season?
No.
So
he wasn't even on the radar.
Not even close.
We didn't even know he would play.
So he's not on the radar. No. He comes through. He has his breakout season. Now, this season, obviously, he is on the radar. Looking as he's coming into the season as a top 10 ranked shortstop coming into the season. That, if he doesn't have the pedigree, then that says that regression could be on the way. Now, where he's being drafted at, I don't think that we worry about it too much. So you take last year's numbers, you build some regression into it, you figure the batting average dips a little bit. Still in that lineup, he should still be able to score the runs. Not really going to drive in much, but does a good job for his position. So nice bat, decent at the plate, you know what I mean? Durability didn't seem to be an issue. I just worry about the fact that he didn't have the pedigree coming in that it opens him up to regression this season.
I look at what he did split between the first half and the second half. Because the first half, he batted 315, had 13 home runs, 48 ribbies, 57 runs scored. In the second half, he played a lot less games. Only batted 257, though, with 4 home runs, 14 runs scored, 17 ribbies. Lost a lot of playing time, got hurt.
Thumb injury
hurt him. Jed Jericho came in, had an awesome year for St. Louis. I think I will not be drafting this guy on my team.
I agree. I think, you know what, it's easy to write that off, the injury. But this is a guy, even the Major League scouts, and I think he came over from Cuba, but I'm not sure exactly where he came over. But I thought
Dominican?
He was one of the Cuban players. He could be Dominican. And they only signed him to a 4-year, $8 million contract.
Not much.
Where
not
a lot
much.
Of these...
He's
yeah,
Cuban.
Where a lot of these
he
guys
is,
get a lot
he
more.
Is
yeah, he was one of the guys... That came over, and he had the whole trial, but he wasn't one of the sought-after players. And he is 26 years of age, and you saw him come up quickly, but never really have any big numbers at the minor league level.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got off to a good start there, and I think a lot of the projections that I see maybe a little overstated. Like, I'm looking at Fangraphs and 17 home runs.
Yep.
Wouldn't shock me if I see 10 to 12 home runs.
I agree with you. It's not also not a young dude either. He's 26, right? This isn't some flashy young prospect. 22 years old.
Yeah, and that's what 26. I'm saying. Where does the pedigree come from? Oh, the reason why I thought he was Dominican is because he's real close with Jose Fernandez. This was the kid that went down there last year.
Wasn't Jose Fernandez?
I thought
he's Cuban.
I thought Jose Fernandez was Dominican. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Cuban. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he was a big hit in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we don't love the Diaz pick.
So Diaz, we're not. I would like to know what his what Erickson's thought process was on Diaz.
Well, I probably need a shortstop.
That makes sense. Well, look, Tim Anderson went a couple rounds later.
He liked Diaz more than Diaz.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm. You know, the Anderson thing is to me. The only reason I'm going to go in and jump on Anderson is if I really need stolen bases.
Right.
I think that he's going to end up being a one-category guy, and I think he's a little overrated. But if I need stolen bases, I would have. Where this kid, even if he hits double-digit home runs and he doesn't hit 17, and he's going to have a decent batting average, I could see why you would go Diaz over Anderson.
You know who loves Tim Anderson?
Who?
The King.
So Scott Engels is a Tim Anderson guy?
Big fat.
He likes a lot of the White Sox.
It's because of Hostetler.
Oh yeah. Our boy Hostetler.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Big fan of Nick Hostetler, for the record.
I wonder when he.
When he's coming back on the show?
No, let me not say that. Would have been too far.
Nick Hostetler's cool. What?
I was thinking my Roto Express at the park in the clubhouse and never mind.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking that. I knew exactly. I've been around you too long, Corey. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wonder when Nick Hostetler's coming back on the show.
But then again,
the
White Sox are American League team, and you know, he doesn't really get to talk to too many American League teams because the Yankees have not warmed up to fantasy.
Ender Inciarte signs.
Do they have an award?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, what's up with that, Yankees? We win awards. What's up with that?
We should bring our trophy with them.
They'll never see it. They're not going to let us in the damn building.
Ender Inciarte signs the extension with Atlanta, Tony. And a younger player comes over for Arizona in the Shelby Miller trade the year before. Inciarte, good player. I wouldn't say he's a great player by any means, but of course you're in the middle of the round of the draft there. Last year, just 3 home runs, did steal 16 stolen bases, scored 85 runs. The RBIs weren't very good either. 291 average is good. The OBP at 351 is excellent. What do we think here of Endry Inciarte?
Just what you said. He's going to swipe you some bags and bring you a high and bring you a high batting average.
This is a good guy, right? Late in the draft, if you're going to get an outfield, he's not going to hurt you in batting average. You got to have power numbers already because the home run's going to be, you know, under 5, and you can't have too many of those guys on your roster. And he doesn't strike out. He puts balls in place. And I think he's all right. I don't think he's great. Everybody talks about this guy like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. And yet, I don't see the upside. Now, they look back to his minor league numbers, and he stole 43 bases in Double A. We haven't seen that at the major league level. It's a lot tougher. Nobody has a pickoff move at the minor league level. So that time sometimes distorts a lot of these great running numbers. And we haven't seen it from him at the major league level. But you got to say, he at least has the ability to steal 40 bases. I don't see it.
That was my question, Tone. If he plays 150 games, and he plays 150 games, he hits leadoff. The lineup look is retooled in the A. I was going to say 35. You say 40.
Well, he stole 43 before in 516 at bats in only 127 games at the Double A level. If I drafted him and you made me put down a number, I would put down 25 would be the number. But I'm always kind of conservative because I don't want to overstate the numbers there. And if it goes over, it's great for me. So I would put 25, but he has stolen 43 at the minor league level. And in 2012, between single A and A plus, he stole 46.
He's got some speed in him, huh?
Mm.
He can run.
There
you
run
go. To the bunny, run. Got a lot of money this year, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, paid.
Look at that. No reason to steal no more. Bad play on words. I'm sorry. Where's he from? Endor. What kind of name is that? Ender.
Ender in Sierra?
Oh, he's from Valenzuela.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. All right.
You better keep that money in American banks.
Yes. Chase. Keep the money in Chase, Ender. Don't take it to Bank of Venezuela.
Don't take it out of Venezuela. Yes. No. Get your family out of there, too. That, like, we don't think about that. Like, it's fantasy owners, right? This poor guy has to play baseball, and if he has any family in Venezuela, he has to worry about them being kidnapped and paying him ransom back to get it. Like, this stuff happens all the time. People don't even know.
It's crazy. Some of the countries can be kind of hardcore, especially when one or two gentlemen can you know, have more money in their bank accounts than, you know, than the rest of the country. But, you know, they go out there. That's home for them. They still have family out there, and sometimes they can get into some sticky situations. So, just wish for the best.
We're gonna get a break here, guys. When we come,
you know, every day when I go uptown, you know what I'm saying. I get people looking at me. You know, oh, that's fantasy executive, whatever. You know what I'm saying. I be like, what's up? What's popping? Try me. You know what I mean?
I don't believe any of this.
You're not buying it, Craig?
None of it. None of it.
All right. I'm well loved. They love me uptown. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, they love me. I'm the fantasy executive.
They're not going to stick me. They're not going to rob me.
Everybody love me.
Right. They look out for me.
Oh, yeah?
One of my neighbors said one of my neighbors told me the other day that since I was little,
right,
he always knew that I was the smartest guy on the block.
It's high praise.
Yeah, it is.
Who's the second smartest? Like, what is the comparison?
You know, we've had actually lived on our block. You may not know. Madison, oh, I don't know.
Madison Bumgarner? I know him.
No, not Madison Bumgarner. Okay. You remember Sue Simmons?
The newscaster.
The newscaster Sue Simmons?
Yeah, of course.
She grew up on my block.
Really? She's smarter than you.
Uh-huh. You know, yeah, she probably is a little bit more talented than I am.
She's talented, smarter.
Yeah. No, Sue Simmons is good. She's very popular.
She's excellent.
News anchor. Is she still working?
No, I don't know.
No, she's been retired.
She's
74 now.
They pulled her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was getting up there. Danny Glover.
Until 2012.
Really?
Yeah, Danny Glover lived.
Danny Glover?
Lived in the block for a while.
You ever see Sue or Danny?
No, never. This is years ago.
Okay.
Sidney Poitier lived in the block for a little while, too, back in the day. Uh-huh.
This is a famous block.
Yeah, and listen. This is everybody
getting a kick out of
this. This is the capper right here. Heather Hunter. lived in the block. Recently, not recent, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, she had an apartment at the, right in the building on the end of the block.
Did you ever see her?
I have seen her, yes. Everybody's really? Like, oh, that's Heather Hunter. My homeboy tried to get her phone number, but it was a very awkward situation. It didn't work.
How did that not work?
I know, right? You know what I'm saying? It didn't work.
You just try to be a nice guy. You ask a girl for a phone number.
Yeah, you never know because you never know Miss Hunter. She probably not from the area, just moved up there. So,
Greg, you know who's from my block?
Uh-oh.
I don't think I want to know.
You know, you do. You do. Who? You'll be impressed by this.
Who?
Kelly Kelly.
Really? Barbie Blank?
Kelly Kelly is the Jacksonville native out by where I live.
Oh, okay.
Now, she lives on your block?
Oh, she's pretty.
She's close. Neighborhood, I would say.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. True story. Mm-hmm. Admit it. Until about 1 second ago on Wikipedia, I had no idea who Heather Hunter was. I do now.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, she's older.
She asked your next co-host to tell him she's
Don't do that. That's not nice.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up Erickson's team. Our final picks, we want to note. We'll finish up our FSTA talk next. Kind of finishing off talking about Jeff Erickson's team here, and I figured Tony, we
got
need
a great story right now though in the world.
What?
Protesters in Washington D.C. decided to get on a crane and try to fly a banner over Washington D.C. They're stuck, and one of them has fallen off the crane.
Oh my goodness!
Some people want them to fall. Oh, no. Other people want them to help them. And this is all happening live right now in Washington, D.C. on TV. And there are people actually rooting for these people to fall.
This is...
I don't see CNN here.
CNN is fake news. Come on now, relax.
CNN PR responded to the president this morning.
You know what?
I'm watching Fox News. It's on.
Okay. Yes, you know what? I want to change topic because I know you want to touch on a couple more players from Erickson's team, but somebody that we know in the industry went on like a little miniature rant against 45,
right?
And I thought about it, like I never saw this person post, about political stuff before, and he went on a little miniature rant. And more or less talked about how the president tweeted last night about CNN being fake news.
Yeah.
And then, as I'm getting ready to lay down, and I was like, wow, that's interesting that I never saw him talk about this kind of stuff on, you know, social media before. He's the guy who's on social media a lot. And I realized, wait a minute, you work for Turner. CNN is a Turner company, right?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So the only reason why you've been on this rant is because he attacked your brand.
Sure.
I think we got to do a better job than that. If you're going to keep it 100, don't just do it when your brand is attacked. Do it because you feel a certain way from the beginning, not just when he comes after you personally.
All right. Fair enough.
You agree with that? No?
I know the guy you're talking about.
You know
about
the guy
now.
I'm talking about, right? How do you feel about that? Yeah. Oh, he's a buddy of yours. That's right. Yeah. How do you feel? Do you think that's correct?
No, I would never do that. The opposite, I would actually... Like when we do things wrong, I like call it out instead of people putting it out there. No, that's this business. The one thing I never want to be is full of shit. And
yeah.
I think that I hate when people are like that.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy.
I like him a lot. He's one of the best dudes in the industry. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, he's taking a stand on something. Then I'm like, thought to myself, wait a minute, you work for Turner, dude.
It's just such a crazy time in the world where like. It's amazing where people, like, if you have an opinion one way or the other, half the people get mad at you. And it's crazy where we are today that some people, I think maybe he truly believes that, but he just kept his mouth shut because he didn't want to alienate everybody as he continues to move up the corporate ladder. But then keep your mouth shut all the time. Don't throw it in when you want to.
Yeah, don't do that when he attacks your employer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you felt
that way, you feel that way from a year ago, 18 months ago. But now that he attacks your employer, now you want to get on your soapbox. A nice dude, I like him a lot, but I didn't think that was fair.
It's a crazy world we live in these days. Greg Sussman's going to live longer than us. We'll be out of here soon enough, Corey.
As soon as, yeah, I know, right? As soon as I would ever stand on my soapbox and be like, I got an FSTA award, and I got braces for my daughter, and I'm done. That's my
all
legacy.
To live forward.
Yeah, I'm second.
Stuff,
I'm second to Sue Simmons on 149th Street. Slightly over Heather Hunter.
Yeah.
I actually texted Mike Florio this morning. I said, Mike Florio, are you sure you want to do this for a living? I'm the only guy not sleeping because I'm trying to figure out what Grayson Matthews is going to do in a California golf course.
Yeah, there
like,
you
this
go.
Is really the life you want to live?
It's got to be a better way for the fantasy analysts. Nobody understands our plight.
Yeah, I think it's be Joel Holstein's kid.
Why didn't we go into the ministry?
All right, we can take a break.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
just that's it.
How about
right
a collection?
There?
Let's take up a collection.
We need a fireplace in the studio. Let me tell you something.
take a break. We're going to come back. We're each going to pick one player from Erickson's team. We'll ask the other two about it, and that is how we wrap up the program. Coming up next.
All right.
Spent a lot of time going over Jeff Erickson's team, talking a little baseball, FSTA style, doing a team a day here on the Roto Experts. Tomorrow, we'll find a new team to go over. Excited about that. Let's see how we're learning about who's good and where players are going, Corey.
Oh, excuse me. Yep, it is that time of year. Starting to catch the feel, starting to get a vibe. I still need to go through the list and do some and look at some players.
Well, yeah, I gotta write down a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like I gotta go through the list, look at some player profiles, because as I start to get into the deeper rounds, I'm like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I do know most of the guys, but some of the dudes, I'm like, okay. Who the hell is this? Exactly. So let me get it started off here, fellas. We'll talk about.
We can each pick a player, throw it out to the other two, and get our thoughts. Yeah,
let's do it right now. I'm going to go with Starlin Castro, Greg. Starlin Castro.
New York Yankee.
Yeah, New York Yankee. Starlin Castro coming off a nice season, you know what I'm saying? Career best 21 home runs his first year in the boogie down. Hit 270. What do you think about the rest of it?
Well, Castro drafted in the 18th round here by Erickson. He had a good year for the Yankees. A second baseman that hits 20 home runs, you're going to take, right? Especially when you take him in the 18th round or so. OBP wasn't good at just 300, which is frustrating. The BABIP was, you know, at 305 is kind of what you would expect here. I think Castro had a fine year. I think it wasn't anything crazy. You do, like I said, like that. He hit 20 home runs, although as Tony likes to mention, you know, 100 players hit 20 home runs, almost literally. I like that the second half was better than the first half. Once he got acclimated to New York, the home runs were the same. Runs were basically the same. The average just went up. I like Starlin Castro. No issue with this pick. Tony?
I like the pick a lot. For a second baseman to hit 20 home runs, getting them that late, the 18th pick. And a lot of people look, he only hit 11 home runs as a Cub, right? And people look at Yankee Stadium, so homer-friendly. He hit 21 home runs in a new environment, playing in New York City. He'll be more comfortable this year, second year there. I think he could actually squeeze out a couple more home runs. I think 21 is the floor. I really like this pick a lot.
The player that I want to bring up to you guys, Corey, are you in on your boy Starlin Castro?
Yeah, I'm in on Starlin Castro also. Sorry, I was looking at the email. Go ahead.
All right, the guy I want to bring up now for you, Tony, and Corey, is Matt Shoemaker. Now, Shu had a good year for the Angels. Like, I know the wins weren't there. I know, you know, the ERA was really hurt by how poorly he performed earlier in the season. But Matt Shoemaker was good, man. Matt Shoemaker, especially in that second half of the year, I actually thought he was really pretty good. I'm impressed with him. What do you guys think, Matt Shoemaker? Tony, we'll start with you.
This guy in DFS circles, you mentioned his first half struggle, so he was cheap for a period of time, and he put it together, and you were using him every fifth day. He pitches in a good pitcher's ballpark. I like him a lot if you're going to get him late. He's going to get his strikeouts right around 8. He's going to have an ERA under 4. The team will be better. He doesn't walk anyone. The whip will be good. I like him a lot. For a guy late, he's definitely a guy to target in the end game. And that's one of the things, too, when you're in a draft, because you get so flux and everything's happening, you get a little worried. You should write some pitches that you're interested in on a sheet of paper late in the game, just so you have them familiar. And this is one of the names I'd have on there.
I agree. I like Matt Shoemaker.
I like him, too. Like you said, the ERA would be under 4, probably around that 3-7 range. The whip would be good also. He might flirt with 180 strikeouts. What I worry about, though, is he took that line drive. This was him that took the line drive, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He took that line drive.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, to me, is always kind of the mental thing about it, taking the pitch. You know, I think he had a small fracture in his skull. You know, so that's so dangerous and scary. You know what I mean? I think as a not just as like a MLB player, but you have to
human being.
Yeah, as a human being, that's scary right there. It's scary to watch. You know what I mean? So I know it's going to be tough for him getting back out on the mound. But when this is your ways to
your livelihood.
Yeah, you're going to be back out there. So that's my only concern.
We mentioned how bad he was, right? Like in April, he had that 9 ERA.
He was horrific.
And then after that, 3.28, 2.14. July wasn't good at 4.31. August, 3.15. I mean, that's good. Really good. If you just throw away April. So hopefully he can come back from that nasty, nasty head injury. Tony, we go to you. What player on Erickson's team do you want to bring up to us?
I love the 25th pick of Travis Shaw in Milwaukee. What's your thoughts on Shaw, the third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, now going to Miller Field?
I think he goes to, once again, a good ballpark here with Miller Park, even though Boston was a good park as well. It's all about playing every day, I think, for Travis Shaw, which we saw for the most part. Now, the average wasn't good. You're throwing away average, I think. He batted .242 last year after batting .270 the year before. You're able to pencil him in for about 15 home runs, which I think is good. The runs and RBIs are okay. He doesn't really run very much. I think he's okay. He doesn't do anything that overly impresses me. I understand it's a 25th round, so anytime you get any guy of value down there, you're happy. But Travis Shaw certainly doesn't excite me in any way.
You get late. Here you go. Later on in the draft, you get a good source of, mind you, the low batting average, but you get a good source. You get a good source of power. Could get some RBI options. Obviously, playing in half his games in a hitter friendly ballpark. Now he should, if I'm not mistaken, be the everyday third baseman. So that should help stabilize some of his at bats and stuff like that. So this is the type of player where you can't go wrong at the draft price you're getting him at in Travis Shaw. So be interesting to see what the rest of the numbers look like outside of the batting average, but we know that's probably going to be pretty weak.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I really like the pick. One of the things that people have the misconception of Fenway Park being such a good offensive ballpark, they made some changes and improvements to that park, and it's become more pitcher-friendly than in the past. And Miller Park's a top-5 ballpark offensively. And you can't, it's hard to justify how to quantify what it means to know that every day you're going to be in the lineup. He never had that with the Red Sox. And I think that when you have that, I think he hits 20 home runs and he hits a .245, .250 batting average. And I think when you get there late, if you miss out on the third baseman or you're looking for a corner infield, this is a guy that can absolutely be on a bigger team. If you're playing a 13-team league, you're playing a 15-team league, he could be that corner infield type.
There you go. There you have it. There's Jeff Erickson's breakdown. Like I said, tomorrow we'll get another breakdown of a brand new team. And we'll continue talking baseball, a little baseball action for you. Getting you ready.
A little hardball action that time of year, you know what I'm saying? What do we got? What's up tonight in the NBA? Anything worth going to the bar and watching?
Oh, I got a large slate of games.
I have a bartender.
But I'm shocked. The Golden State Charlotte game is on national TV, and I would have preferred the Houston Boston game.
But then at 10:30, you got Portland, LA, which will be high scoring.
Yeah, okay. So cool.
Yeah, and I'm going to have some fantasy options in that game, so I'm okay with that.
Speaking of Charlotte and Golden State, Steph Curry returns home to Charlotte. Will he be in your lineups tonight, Tony?
No, he won't. Damon Lillard will be my point guard tonight.
At shooting guard, we talked about Norman Powell a little bit earlier. I think you got to like Giannis at home against Philly.
Oh, yes. You definitely like him tonight. I like James Harden as well. So if you're going to pay up, you go there. If you're going to go cheap, you go Norman Powell.
There you go. Small forward tonight. I mentioned Jay Crowder before. I also like Brandon Ingram could get another start. He might not, though. Be careful at that.
Yeah, and the problem is now with the whole 10:30 game, we're not going to know there. So I'm a little concerned there. I think on DraftKings, Kevin Durant's price is way too low tonight.
Okay. Power forward, if no Okafor, no Joel Embiid, figure out where you have Nerlens Noel, whether he's a center or power forward listed, because he's getting all the minutes he can handle. And if you want to go cheaper than that, Rashawn Holmes, once again, if those two guys don't play, he's going to see time. Yeah.
And I like Harrison Barnes against your New York Knickerbockers.
Yes. I like Al-Farouq Aminu at power forward as well with the minutes against the Lakers. And then at the center position, the one guy I have circled in there right now, Hassan Whiteside at home. Yes. In Brooklyn, I should say. I like Hassan Whiteside tonight.
I don't know if the DraftKings people are on drugs, but he's on 7,900 tonight.
Oh, my God.
You have to put him in. Yeah, there's no way you can't play.
Also listen to Al Horford and Mason Plumlee.
There you go. I like Mason Plumlee, too. Coming up next, Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Matt Modica is here. Hang out with Corey Parson and Jake Sealy. For Corey and Tony, I'm Greg. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.